So I have a message for you that I think you're going to enjoy. If not, too bad. Amen? Because what I'm going to share with you, God has placed in my heart throughout this week. You know, when you go through some stuff. Oh, yeah, we want to dismiss the children. I forgot about that. Dismiss the children. All the kids are saying, are we ever going to leave? Yeah. Yeah, you can dismiss the children. Have fun, kids. Be safe. We love you. The title this morning is The Mid-Year Stretch. The Mid-Year Stretch. The Mid-Year Stretch. I cannot believe it's July 6th. It's the first Sunday. We're halfway through 2014. Can you believe it's halfway through 2014? That means, you know, Thanksgiving's coming and Christmas is coming and a whole new year's coming in less than 6 months. It's crazy. How the year started really matters not. It's how we finish is what matters. So this morning I want you to get a new mindset this morning that God wants you to finish on top. It doesn't matter what you've gone through this year, no matter how much pain you've gone through, some unexpected things might have happened, you might have gone through some stuff that you didn't expect, but let me tell you, God is in the mix this morning of your life. God has placed in each and every one of you a seed with his identity so that you can finish on top. Amen. If you can dream it, God will help you make it happen. How big is your dream? I hope it's bigger than you can handle because you're going to need God to help you with it. That's the kind of dreams that you should be having. He will give you a seed and he's going to ask you to place it in good ground so that you'll have a harvest. God is a big God and he wants you to know that he's going to stretch you for this next 6 months. God wants you to know that he wants you to finish strong, but you have to participate. You have to do something. You have to participate. In when you go to the gym, you know, I hate going to the gym, but in order to lose weight and stay fit, I got to go to the gym. I have to participate. I have to go. I might want to join a spin class, or I might want to do one of those crazy classes that Pastor Diana goes to that I can last about 8 minutes, and I'm like, I'm done, man, you know. But you got to participate. You just can't, like, you know, just go. You know, I used to have these CDs or DVDs, and I used to watch them on TV to lose weight, you know, and they had exercise stuff, and I was eating my potato chips and stuff. And I was wondering why I wasn't losing any weight. It's because I wasn't participating. Amen. God wants you to know that when you exercise, you have to stretch a little bit. So as you get older, you got to stretch a little bit longer. I used to stretch for 5 minutes when I was 20. Now it takes me 20 minutes to stretch so I don't pull anything out of socket. Amen. So take a look this morning at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. This is the New King James Version. And this is what it says in chapter 9, verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race will run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you will obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself shall be disqualified." We run a race. We are in a marathon. Amen? We're in a marathon. And when you run a marathon, you have to train yourself and do these little mini marathons. You need to build your endurance. You need to go through some stuff. And let me tell you, sometimes in life we go through a thing called a dry season. You ever been in a dry season and it seems like nothing's working out right? And this year, many of us might have faced a dry season, some troubling things. Maybe we lost our job, or our house went into foreclosure, or maybe we lost a loved one, or a friend who lost a loved one. Or maybe you know somebody got divorced, or you got divorced, and you've gone through some stuff, and it feels like a dry season. So you need to understand that sometimes God will separate some things and some people from you for a specific reason. Because what he wants to do is he wants to place this specific seed inside of you. Something that's going to allow you to finish and finish strong. He sometimes separates you so that you can spend more time to go deeper into the depths of the revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. I know that when my father passed away about a month ago, it gave me the opportunity to examine myself, and it gave me a chance to spend more time with Jesus. It gave me an opportunity to dig into his word a little deeper, because see, you know, one day we're all going to face the Maker. Amen. And I want to make sure that I finish strong and on top, that I hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what I'm believing that I'm going to hear when I depart. But what it does, when God separates you from things and people and jobs and situations, he's doing it for your own good, because he wants you to focus on him. Because the world isn't about you. It's really all about him. Amen. Think about the Apostle Paul. You may know the word, but yet we're not in his likeness yet. And you think about Paul and all the stuff that he went through, all the things that, all the trials, all the tests, the shipwreck. He went through all these things so that he could be the greatest, even though he said he was the least of them all. Sometimes we need to spend some hidden time with God, because what happens when you spend some alone time with God, God reveals some things to those that spend time with him. He doesn't share it just with everybody. He says, "Hey, if you want to hang with me." Because I said last week, Jesus said that he loves everybody the same, but not everybody loves Jesus the same. And those that really love him, that really press in to him, he shows them the hidden secrets and the mysteries of the Bible that allows you to unlock things in your life so that you can go to a whole nother level where there is no devil, because the devil's already been defeated under your feet about 2,000 plus years ago. Amen? Some of us need to slow down and listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. I'm guilty of that. I'm going 180 miles an hour. Sometimes the Lord's saying, "Whoa, slow down." But we get so far ahead. We got so many things to do. We got the hustle and the bustle. We got to go here. We got to take the kids here. We got this going on. We got work. We got so many things that we just need to slow down. The dry season or the desert experience is a training ground for your personal trainer named Jesus. Did you know that you have a personal trainer that you don't have to go spend $65 an hour for at the gym? That all you got to do is spend some time with Jesus, and he'll guide you, he'll direct you, he'll instruct you, he'll put you in the right place at the right time with the right people, with the right word to speak life into your life. It's time that you and I begin to stretch out and we begin to prepare for what's ahead of us. Sometimes we need to just spend some time with God in that little room and say, "Lord, I need you to stretch me in some areas that I haven't been pliable before. Lord, I need you to bend me a little bit. There's certain people I just don't want to hang around with because they just irritate me." The Lord says, "I need you to go in their lives because there's something in you that they need. And I know they irritate you. I know they bug you. I know they're like a pest or a nuisance to you, so you just stay away from them." But God's going to tell you, sometimes you need to go in some of their lives just to meddle a little bit. Amen? Not beat them up with the Bible, but just show them the love of Jesus. Because there's something that you have that they need, and then God stretches in those areas, and I know you don't want to go there. I get it. But God says, no, I'm going to stretch you, and I want you to finish strong. In order to finish strong, you got to be pliable and bendable and be ready to be used of God. You need to understand something, that help is on the way. God will always bring you people to stand by your side to encourage you when you run the race of life. These people are placed in your life so that you can finish that specific distance or that course. Remember, if you ever ran a race, I used to run 5K races because that's about as far as I could run without, you know, throwing up in the corner. I never ran a marathon. I drove a bike with my brother who ran a marathon, but along the way there's people that would give you water or Gatorade, and they would encourage you along the way, and they're just there for that short period of time and say, "You can do it," and then boom, they're gone. Well, there's people in your life right now that God brings in, and he puts them in there for a season to encourage you to get beyond where you're at, and then boom, they're at their next assignment. God always places people there for you. See, Paul, the Apostle Paul, understood God's grace. Paul finished strong because he had learned it was not about him, but it was about Jesus Christ that was inside of him. See, there's a Jesus inside of you that he's trying to get out, but you're in the way. Come on now. You're in the way. I don't like when someone says, and this, and but. That means everything they said before didn't mean nothing. Amen? But this, but that. So you need to understand something this morning, is that God's going to remove the but out of your way. Amen? Yeah, God's going to get things out of your way somehow, some way. And Paul understood that there's some greatness in you, and we as Christians get in the way of it. And so he's trying to remove some of those things out of your way so that you can finish strong. Sometimes what we do is we put our own little blockades in the way, or we put those little orange cones, and now we got to go around it. It takes a little bit of time. Or God gives us a test, and we fail the test. And that's the thing about grace. So you take the test, and you fail it, and guess what? You get to go around again, go around that mountain again, and not fail it. Oh, God, this looks familiar. And God's so good that he's not going to let you pass the test until you pass the test. Amen? That means you might have to change something, you do something different. You may have to go in a different direction. You may have to change up your friends. You might have to change your associations. You might need to be ethical, moral, and do the right thing and not cheat on your taxes. Oh, all right, I won't say that. Don't worry, they'll just lose your emails anyway, so don't worry about it. He found out, this is what Paul found out, when he was weak, God made him strong. So when you're at your weakest point, when you can't do it, that means now God's going to step up and rise inside of you. And that he's going to give you the strength to be able to accomplish and complete great and mighty things. Amen? Paul understood something, that he focused on what he did not see. He focused on the eternal things. He focused not on the things that I can see right now, like I can see this drum set, but no, he focused on things that were beyond the drum set. He was focused on the things that were going to touch other people's lives. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. This is what the Bible says. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the people I've seen in my life are just temporary, but I know if they know Jesus, I'm going to see him eternally. Well, that's a good news for me. I need to not focus on the things that I see, because rust will get to it and eat it up. Amen? I shouldn't worry about how much jewelry and gold I have, because it's only going to tarnish or fade away or get lost. I need to focus on the eternal things, the things of God. I need to be about being a good example so that my children will be a good example, and that my children's children will be a good example. I need to be a good steward of the money. I need to be a person of integrity and morals that people can trust and say, hey, that person got something going on. That person's doing the right thing. In order to finish strong and complete this year and be on top, you just need to make some adjustments. God's not telling you have to do a whole 180, but God's somewhere, and some of us, he just says, there's some tweaking I just need to do, and you just got to be willing to take a couple little twists and little tweaks and allow a couple little things that, because I'm just positioning you one degree more so that you hit the target. Because, you know, if you're off one degree on a boat, man, you'll miss port. It's amazing. So we allow God in the middle of our year, even though we've gone through a whole bunch of stuff, in order to finish on, we just allow him to make some course adjustments for us. Amen? See, Paul was able to focus not on the things that he's seen, but the things that were not seen. Paul learned to be content, and he stood on the word and the promises of a God. His focus would never waver no matter what came his way. So you got to understand, he had given a seed, he sowed it in good ground, and he expected a harvest. Paul understood the principles of God's kingdom. we need to understand the principles of God's kingdom. You will finish the race strong if you don't waver from God's plan. You need to seek eternal things, stretch your faith, and be a doer of the word. Oh, man. I like everything about being the doer of the word. I want to be a sayer of the word and point out everybody's faults, but I don't want to be a doer of the word. But that means now I got to do something. That means I might have to get up early in the morning and pray that I don't want to. I might have to stay up an extra hour late and pray for somebody, or I might have to read the Bible for an extra 15 minutes that day. I'm with you. I mean, I'm already up at 4:45. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock. Come on. How much do you love him? Don't you think he'll restore your strength? Don't you think he'll give you enough rest? I always complain about it. I said, Lord, but I need my beauty sleep. He says, you already look beautiful in my eyes. I said, so I got to get 4 hours of sleep now, Jesus? Come on. Let me just tell you something. You have 6 more months to the end of the year, and there may be some disappointments still that come along the way. But you got to understand, Paul understood that these disappointments would come, but it didn't slow him down from who Jesus was. Paul learned to handle a shipwreck. So we should be able to learn how to handle some disappointments in our life and not get swallowed up. By the way, some of us have gone through some shipwrecks this year. Some of us have gone through some hell. Some of us has gone through some pain, and some relationships have been cut, and you're like, God, why? Because he's God. He's trying to help you out. See, what all that did for Paul is it allowed him to trust God just a little bit more. It just said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand what's going on right now. I can't figure this out in my mindset, but I know whatever is happening, you're going to work it out for my good. Somehow, some way, this situation that looks rotten and horrible and it's painful, you're going to turn around for my good. Somehow, you know, the devil been staring up the stuff, but you're going to put a little bit of that Jesus brew in there, amen? And things are about to turn from sour to sweet like honey, amen? But how do you do that? Paul learned to trust in God even in a shipwreck. Ask yourself one question. If you were on that boat with Paul and there was a shipwreck, how would have you handled yourself? Paul didn't flinch. You can see, here's what Paul understood. That God had put a seed in him with God's identity. And God wasn't allow that seed to wash itself out. It was already planted underground. And sometimes you don't feel like things are coming fast enough, but God's already planted that seed that you had. Is already planted in good ground. And it hasn't broke through the ground yet. You don't have to tear it up. It's still there. It's doing something underneath the ground. It's been 6 months and you haven't seen it come forth yet, but it ain't over yet. There's 6 more months in the year. You still have time to finish strong. It's only the middle of the year stretch. It's only, I'm just getting ready for the Boston Marathon. Because see, sometimes we doubt God that there's something going on inside of us. Because you haven't seen it rise yet, but it's about to come. Paul learned to trust God in everything. Paul knew that his anchor was in Jesus Christ and it was secure. See, we got to understand something. We're going to go through some hell. We're going to go through some stuff. We're going to go through some losses. We're going to go through some disappointment. Some things aren't going to turn out the way we expected, but it didn't take God by surprise. Just because I wanted it to be one way, amen, God wanted it to be a different way. His way is better than my way. I'm going to go with his way. His plan never fails, amen. Paul knew that there was an angel that stood by him at night, that God was on his side, that Paul was going to finish strong. Take a look at 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Timothy 4:18. New King James Version says it this way. And the Lord will deliver me from a few evil works and preserve me from his heavenly kingdom. Doesn't it say that? To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord will deliver me from almost every situation except for a couple. Right? But why do we think that way? Hey, I'm preaching to myself now. Come on, guy. Cut me some slack, man. Cut me some breaks. And it says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. He is going to deliver me from every evil work. Everything the devil had an assignment on my life for, I'm going to prevail. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. Really? When I was in college and my pancreas burst and I was going to die, God was there and I didn't even know him. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. Pancreas disorder for 12 years. Oh, I died a couple times on the table. Why? He preserved me and allowed me to live. He delivered me from the evil works of the devil. Then you get saved and you get set free and you no longer do the things you used to do. He preserved you. He's setting you up so that you'll have some kingdomly, heavenly, great things to talk to your kids about. And you're that standing on faith and all of a sudden they give you that report that you got cancer of your lungs. And you say, ha ha, devil, you're a liar. Then he healed me again and again and again and again. Why? Because he wants to make sure that I have the victory in Christ Jesus. My time is not done yet. He wants to make sure that I finish strong, that this is just a mid-year stretch. I've gone through some stuff, but I am going to finish and complete whatever he's placed before me. He's going to deliver me and you from every evil work. He left nothing out. He's going to deliver you from everything. Because he's got some greatness in you that he wants the world to see and take notice of so that you will draw people unto him. Give of yourself. Paul poured himself out to others even in his most difficult times in life. You need to take some time and build some godly relationships with godly people that think a lot about God and think about Jesus and have something in common with you. I don't associate, not that I don't like my old friends, but I don't hang around with my fraternity brothers anymore from 20 years ago because I just don't drink and smoke and dope and do all that kind of craziness anymore. Some of them still do, and some of them are passing away, and some are alcoholics, and their lives are messed up, and hey, my life's blessed. Still married to the same wife. 21 years later, we celebrated 21 years, you know. She would have been out on good behavior. She would have killed me. I would have been okay. Amen. But she endured. She went through the storm. She went through the shipwrecks. She went through the pain and suffering of seeing me, you know, come back a few more times. That'll test you. Jesus is our example of one who gave himself, even to death on a cross. Jesus finished strong and he completed the race. You got to give yourself today to doing something for someone else. God has given you time and talents and gifts, and he wants you to be able to use them to edify the body of Christ and those that you become surrounded by. Be one who is used of God in a mighty way. Take a look at 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. The Bible says this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let me close by saying a few things. Before we start the second half of 2014, you need to stretch yourself out a little bit. You need to loosen up. You need to put your game face on for victory. You've gone through some desert experience. It gave you time to build up. You got trained by a personal trainer named Jesus. He's in your corner. He's cheering you on. He wants to make sure that you win and finish strong before the end of this year. Sometimes we go through the desert experience because it's a season of preparation. Remember, preparation is never wasted. Let me say that again. Preparation is never wasted. It's a time for you to grow and prepare yourself for the race. I can't prepare you for the race. You have to prepare yourself for the race. I can't go and force you to go to the gym and work out those muscles if you don't want to go work out those muscles. But it's there for you. Your faith is the same way. The only way you exercise your faith is by using your faith. Trusting God. Believing God. My job is to bring forth the word. What you do with it's on you. It's pretty good. I got let go of that last year. God gave me a revelation for before 2000. He said, you know, you can preach the word to people until you're blue in your face. He says, I did the same thing. He says, they got to just do it. It ain't on you. Says, but God, don't seem like they're getting it. They choose not to get it if they don't want to get it. So I say, oh, praise God. It's not on me. Hallelujah. There was a burden lifted off me because I was always worried. Well, don't they see it? They have to go seek the word just like you do. All you do is you highlight me during that Sunday service to encourage them to go do what they should go do. Because everybody has a dream and a vision, and all your gifts and talents are different than my gift and talent. Amen? I don't sing. I sing so low that no one can hear me. That's better. But others have the gift to sing. I make a joyful noise. And then I thought I was bad till my brother came and started hearing him sing. And I said, oh, Jesus, I think neither one of us had that the singing in our system there. Amen. Seed sowing in ground, you said, gives you access to the kingdom. This access places you on the road of victory, a victory lane. But you got to do it God's way, not your way. Amen? Along the way, God's going to bring people to help you and encourage you during the race. Because you can do it. You need to trust in the Lord and in His strength. Don't waver or get off path. Just look to the things that are unseen. Don't worry about the right and left. Don't worry what people are thinking or saying or talking smack about you. Who cares? At least you're talking about you. Just stay focused on the things of God. Because then you'll finish strong. God's placed a dream and a vision in you. You need to seek it. You need to find it. And you don't waver from it. Don't look for the things around you or don't allow the situations around you to distract you from what God wants you to do. I mean, people come and they try to distract you. Oh, or say, see, and then you tell somebody, well, I got this, you know, this vision for this, you know, start a business. And they say, oh, you can't do that. You ever hear that? Well, nobody in your family ever went to college. What makes you think you can go to college? Yeah. Who are you, Albert Einsteinski? You know, come on. Yes, I am. Think about that. How many times have people told you you can't, and the whole time God's saying, I already told you, it's already, just step out and do it. Don't look at the situations around you, but look to God. Learn to deal with some of life's disappointments, but don't let them defeat you. You're in a marathon so you can endure the race because you got someone in your corner named Jesus who's encouraging you along the way. You need to pick yourself up. You need to trust in the Lord. And let me tell you, you will finish strong. You will finish strong. You will finish strong. God's not done with you, no matter how old you are. There's something more God still wants you to do. but you got to press in. When you give of yourself, guess what? You forget about your own circumstances and your own situations when you give of yourself, and all of a sudden God takes care of the things that were in your life that need to be taken. He just takes care of them somehow. Be found giving out something to somebody else because God will take care of your place. I learned that about 15 years ago when I was an usher at a church and the Lord and I would deal with my kids and we'd put out the buckets and Amanda and Matthew were real little and they would get there early in the morning because I'd promised them donuts, you know, and they would put all the collection buckets out and the Bibles and get everything ready at the big church and the Lord told me one day, he says, you know, you take care of my house, I'll take care of yours. You give me of your time and talents. And it means, and it looks like it's mundane. You're just out there every Sunday, and you're ushering at the church. No. You're setting the atmosphere. Don't ever sell yourself short. When you come in and you've been praying before you came to church, you're setting the atmosphere so that I can flow freely in the things of God. Amen? That's why it's called Spirit Life Christian Church. Flow in the things of God. Amen? Not goofy or craziness. Because God was never goofy and crazy. He did things in order. Remember, helping somebody else releases joy in your spirit, man. So do something for somebody this week. Remember that the miles that you travel for the Lord will always be priceless. And when you finish strong, you will hear the words from God, well, good, my faithful servant, well done. Well done, well done. Come on in. That's what I want to hear from God. I want him to say some good things about me when I'm arriving. Amen. Lord wanted me to tell you something for this hour. I want to encourage you something. That God's not finished with you yet. That you've been through half of the year. There's a whole nother half. There's another 180 days roughly so that you can finish strong. God wants me to tell you that God's going to give you double for your trouble. That favor is coming and it's not fair, and that the latter days will be better than your former days, and that you will finish on top. You say, Pastor, that's crazy. No, God gave me two scriptures to give you. They're not up here, but I want you to write these down. Psalms 5, 11, and 12. It says, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him with a shield. Think about that. These next 6 months, are going to be awesome. You're going to go through some stuff. That's okay. Because you have to have a test in order to graduate. You got to have a test in order to have a testimony. You got to go through something to get to the other side. You have to step out sometimes where it's uncomfortable. And people are going to talk about you. And they're going to say some rotten things. And some of them are going to sever relationships that God was going to take care of anyway. Job 42:12 says this, and I love this. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. I thought I had it good, but it's going to go get a whole bunch better. Because the latter days are going to be better than my former days. I went through a lot of stuff in my former days, but my latter days, oh man, are going to be so much better according to the Word of God. Because he ain't finished. He had to allow you to go through some stuff and allow you to make some choices that were stupid and boneheaded. He allowed you to go through those things so that he could bring you through them so that you could see God Almighty. He allowed you to make those poor decisions in business and your financial credit card so that you would bury yourself in debt because you were a fool, because you wouldn't listen to anybody. But he allowed that to happen so that you can come through it and give him the glory. How you could tithe your way out of a situation. Come on now. When I get myself into a jam, I give everything I got. I've got my gifts, my time, my talent, my mind. Well, and I just get out of the situation. It pulls you right. It just like vacuums you right out. Because when I wasn't a tither, I had a lot of money and I was broke. I don't know how that happened. I had millions when I was 20 years old, 25 years old. Apartment buildings and complexes and driving around in Corvette and nice cars and you know, boats and all kinds of stuff. And I was a miserable SOB. And I had it all. And then you got sick and then you can't buy health. You can buy a health plan, but you can't find a doctor that can help you. You're in trouble. Until I found a guy named Dr. Jesus. And it didn't matter how much money I had, he wasn't up for sale. What he wanted was in here. I had to give something that was in here. I had to give of myself. I had to say, no longer will I do it my way, but I'm going to do it your way. No longer will I confess it, I have to do it a certain way. I'm going to do it God's way. His ways are not my ways. His ways are far better than my way. He's already got it. He's already seen the end and the beginning. He's just trying to get you there. He doesn't mind that you're going to smell the rose a long way. He just doesn't want you to have to go do a detour two or three times. Amen. He's got a track, a plan to get you on time to where you need to be. Because he may not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. It's mid-year. Mid-year. First half of the year, been pretty crazy, pretty hectic. Been a little nutty. Been a little wearing. A lot of tests. A lot of trial. But you know what? At the end of it, I'm still standing. The devil thought it was going to knock me down. The devil thought it was going to take you out. The devil thought he would just smother Kate. But for some houses, you kind of like, you remember Hulk Hogan, man, he'd be laying on the mat, and he'd be all pinned out, and all of a sudden, you know, the people start cheering because someone was on your side, and then he tapped the mat, and all of a sudden he gets his feet, and he stands up, and he runs around and knocks the guy out and wins and pins the guy. That's the second half of your life. You're like that Hulk Hogan that took those supernatural Jesus vitamins, amen? The devil had you down on the mat. See, y'all watch WWF. I know it. See, I got wrestling fans in here. Amen. And he thought you were down. And you were. But then he brought some people along to cheer you, to uplift your spirit, to encourage you. And all of a sudden, you get up off that mat, and you said, I'm not going to take that situation anymore. And you just knocked that devil right down. And then give him that flying elbow just for good graces. Amen. Nail him to the mat. And then he raised the hand of the victor. That victor is you. That victor is me. We win. Why? Because the Bible says so. I read the end of the book. The book at the end says, I win. I win. I win. It doesn't matter what I've gone through. All that stuff doesn't mean nothing. I win. People don't even know who I is. Amen. Because what I used to be like, I'm no longer like. And they would look at you and say, you're a pastor of a church? Brother, I knew you when you were, yes, I was just like that. I was a devil just like you. I was a lying, cheating, you know what, yes. But then all of a sudden, God got a hold of me. And he made my latter days, oh, so much better than my former days. He gave me one woman to love. He gave me a good kids to raise. He gave me a nice home and a nice little cat. Amen. See, you're laughing, but you know it's true. That cat would be Chinese food about 20 years ago, amen. Y'all looking at me like, that was my first job, was being worked at a Chinese restaurant, chasing those darn cats around. Get over here. Your boneless chicken's coming, sir. Hold on, I can't catch it. You get that picture now. You'll be thinking about that when you're going to eat chicken today. That pastor wrecked me. your latter days are going to be greater than the former days. God wants to bless you. God wants you to know that you're going to get double for all the trouble that you've been going through. God is going to hook you up with some relationships in the next 6 months that are going to be powerful. They're going to help you go to a whole other level. There's going to be business connections. There's going to be things in the spirit realm that God's going to take you. You're going to start reading the word and you're going to go, whoa, man, this makes sense. I read it 100 times, but wow, I got it. The more of him you want, the more of him he'll give you. He wants to make sure that you finish the race. You've been stretching. You've been getting ready. You went through some stuff. You got some testimonies. You got some people looking at you right now. They're going to see how you're going to finish. You're going to finish strong. You're going to finish on top. You are going to be able to say, it was the Lord that got me through. And everyone's going to say, and they're going to be clapping, man, I can't believe the Lord, how the Lord did. Oh, my God. Look what the Lord has done for that person. And they started their diet plan, and 6 months later, man, they lost a whole bunch of weight. I never thought it was in them. Yeah, they just tapped into what was already there. They already tapped into the 100 that was already there. Do you get it? Does it make sense? God's not done with you yet. 6 more months. Oh, you know, Pastor, we got, you know, it's always so hard with the Thanksgiving season and the holiday. I got to deal with relatives. Keep on speaking it in. It will be hard. Why don't you speak it in? This is going to be the best Thanksgiving I'm ever going to have. It'll be the greatest Christmas because I'm going to be the biggest blessing amongst all the people who didn't think I would bless them. I want them to talk about, why did they call me up and invite me over for Christmas? They haven't talked to me in years. Come on now. Oh, I just wanted to show that, you know, what God's doing in my life. You know, there's some things I had to change up a little bit. And that, I just want you to come by and, you know, just see some of the blessings of the Lord. You know, that job that you got, you know, when they give you a bonus unexpectedly because they just felt they should do it. They don't know why, but they just do it. Just expect it. Have your hands open, ready and gracious to receive it. Because, see, the former days and the latter days, you know, he's trying to help you. Job looked like, in the natural, that he lost it all. But God set him up that he had more than what he even thought. Never even could imagine that God would do this and that much more for him. Even though everyone was cursing him, everyone was talking smack about him, guess what? People have been talking smack about you. They've been saying some things about you because you're coming to church and you don't do the things you used to and you don't hang around with the same crowd. And people are, you know, they're talking. Maybe just cutting you off, well, you're just too good. No, my God's too good. I don't want to let down my God. It ain't about you or me. It's about my God. I don't want to offend him. I mean, if you had Jesus standing with you everywhere you went, you go to the supermarket, you're working, you're going out to eat, you're driving, and you had Jesus with you, I wonder how we would react. Did you know that you have Jesus with you everywhere you go in the form of the Holy Spirit? So every time that you mess up, he ain't like telling on you, he's just like, yeah, I know, he'll get it right. That driver cuts you off and you use a couple superlative words. That person don't know how to drive. And you speak in a foreign language. Keeping it real. Come on now. Is that not true? Person cuts you off. And if you ever want to test your patience, go to Costco on a Saturday. Try to get one case of water. You got to fight through 4 million people. And I was there early at 10 o'clock yesterday. I thought I would beat the rush. No, the United Nations showed up. You have any carts? We have to wait for the next person that's using it. million people. I'm figuring, shouldn't they all be full and drunk from the 4th of July so I could get in there? I'm a Christian. I should be able to slide right in, get my stuff, and just slide right back out. But no. Those same drunk ignoramuses that were drinking on and partying on for that were there early in the morning, getting more alcohol and filling up their cases of things with beer and booze. And I'm thinking, oh, God help me. All I wanted is to get a case of water and a couple little things. Test your patience. And then I thought about it, and God gave me that word, and he said, but your latter days are better than your old days that you used to have. You thought you had it good, but it's going to get a whole bunch better. I'm going to have to stretch you a little bit. I'm going to have to bend you and make you a little bit more pliable so that you can handle situations, because the people you're going to deal with in your next season that's coming up, you know, are going to need a little, not arm twisting, but they're going to just need a little special attention, a little love, a little bit more tender care. And they're going to come into the kingdom as well. They're going to get saved. They're going to get separated. Those loved ones that you've been waiting for will get done here in the next 6 months. The ones that you've been praying for, the hard case ones, you know, like you used to be, they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Some situation's going to break, and you're going to be the person just standing there. And you're not going to beat them with a Bible. You're just going to embrace them. It's like Jesus. You're not going to say, let me tell you. You're going to say, thank you. Come cry on my shoulder. I just want to love them. And they're going to freak out. And then they're going to come to Jesus. Because they're going to want what you have. Man, how come you got so much peace when you're going through? How come you got so much joy? Joy comes in the morning time. Why? Because I cried all night. Think about that. You might have cried all night, but joy comes in the morning time. When I open up the Bible and I praise him and I worship him and I thank him. I can finish strong. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless your people. I ask you, Lord God, to guide their path. I ask you, Lord God, that everything they put their hands to today, throughout this week, will prosper and grow. Father God, as they put their hands to the plow, increase will come their way. Father God, the seed that's been sown is taking root, and harvest season is coming. They might not see that, Lord God, it come through the earth, but Lord, it's going to break through here in this next 6 months. People's heads are going to turn. Some of them may even roll because they're going to say, I can't believe it. But you can believe it because you serve Jesus. God's going to give you double for all the trouble that you have. God's going to bless you. God's going to give you a favor, supernatural favor and increase like you've never had before. God wanted me to tell you and encourage you that it's not over. No matter what you've been going through, God is going to make a way when there seems to be no way. God just wants me to tell you that he loves you, that he appreciates you, that he embraces you, that you can come run in his arms to Daddy Jesus anytime you want. He's there for you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to talk to you. He's there so that you can lay your head upon him. Because sometimes you need rest when you're in a race. Please take this to the bank that you will finish strong. Father, bless your people and everything that they do, Lord God. Give them, Lord God, wisdom. Give them direction. Give them insight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.